Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And we're back today with Seeking Sister Wives, Season 5, Episode 5, Seeking Can Be Complicated.
Yes, indeed.
And sometimes I just think about recording with Carly and Corey last week, and I just die laughing
so hard.
I laughed until I cried. I was laughing so hard. They are so funny. We had so much fun with them.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, oh, I kind of miss those guys.
I miss them.
Yeah. Not having them here to rip on these people.
Well, it's just, yeah, it's even more fun to have more people ripping on them because it just gets everybody worked up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, but you realize this is a show that you need to watch with friends. You really do, because you're sitting there watching some of this stuff going, God, I wish I had someone to talk to about this, because I'm dying. I am dying.
Yeah. And it's like, then you have to wait several days to be able to talk about it. It's like, I need to talk about it now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And this, there was some wackiness in this episode.
Oh, boundaries.
There's some severe
boundaries have been violated. There's like kind of some guilt tripping and shaming and
stalking
and tank tops, black tank tops and blue tank tops. We saw two people in tank tops. We saw Justin in a tank top. We've been added to the tank top family here.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a lot, you know, it was a lot.
Well, gosh. Okay. So who are we going to start with?
I mean, we could go right there with the big one, or we could go with some of the smaller ones. The Davis family, the big one's the Merrifields. Though the other ones are also, there was some stuff happening. You pick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I like to save the Merrifields to the end because I don't know. I just like to go out with them.
It's like dessert. It's just, So let's find a salad or an amuse-bouche.
Okay. A real salad would be the Salahuddins. I mean, God.
Yeah. Oh, God. They've really got, I mean, what happened? The producers are like, oh, there's nothing here. I thought we would see Keisha at some point. Don't we see Keisha?
I thought at the very beginning of the season where they show, you know, the scenes from the season coming up, there was a flash of them talking to a woman who, I don't know who she was. She didn't look anything like the woman in those pictures that they were showing, so, you know, saying, oh, this is Keisha. You know, they show pictures of her. And then you see this this other woman. It's like, that's not Keisha. Like, this is like broke down Keisha. I don't know who this is. So maybe they find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because they basically get stood up. You know, they're in the car on the way to the airport, I guess, to pick her up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. First they stop to pick up some flowers.
That was weird. And so they're out in rural Pennsylvania, it looks like. And so are flower stands like that? I guess I've been living in a city too long. I was like, where are they going? To someone's house to pick flowers? Yeah. It was a little odd.
It's like a place where they grow the flowers and you can go there and get the fresh cut flowers, I guess. Yeah. We don't have that kind of stuff here.
We really don't.
Never seen that before, but it was a very beautiful bouquet. But then the producers asked the woman working there, you know, what she thought of these people. And I think she said they're assholes. They blocked it out.
Yeah. She said, I rewound.
Oh, okay, good.
And yes, I rewound. And she said assholes. I was like, interesting. Okay.
What did we not see that, you know, was so
to her? I don't think that she was calling the Salahuddins assholes themselves. I think she was saying that, right, typical fashion, we see this constantly with these shows where you then have to confront the, you know, the random person you're interacting with and ask them what they think about polygamy.
Right.
Right. And so I think what she was saying was, they were like, well, what do you think of polygamy or polygamists? She's like, oh God, they're assholes. Like, it's hard enough. Basically, she was saying it's hard enough to deal with one person. Why do I want to deal with a whole bunch of people?
Well, yeah. And also there's the bad polygamists, you know, that get the bad.
Yes, that too.
Maybe she was talking. That's what she was referring to.
I think she was referring to like the Warren Jeffs of the world and not to these two. And then what I thought was interesting, though, maybe they're just doing this for the camera. On the way to picking up Keisha, they start having these conversations about rules and intimacy and what's going to happen. And, you know, Nyla, she's saying, oh, you know, no, you can hold hands, but there's no intimacy. There's no kissing. There's no this and that. I'm like, you guys have not talked about this at all until now?
Well, it's just content for the show.
I guess so.
Because, yeah, she says, you know, You're going to take her to her hotel. You're going to take her up to her room, and then you're going to leave, and then you're going to text me, and you know you're not going to stay. Nothing's going to happen. She's going through all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
She's like, I watched last season. I watched those Merrifields.
Yeah, I know it can happen very quickly.
I know it can happen at a moment's notice.
Just no. Oh, I got to come into your room to use the bathroom. Yeah,
yeah, it takes.
I'll be right out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And didn't they say they had a I don't know if you call it a relationship, but apparently they were dating someone at one point, but she didn't really want much to do with Nyla. She like wouldn't talk to her. She was really only interested in Naeem. Did you say that?
I can believe it.
Isn't that part of their story? I could have sworn. Mm. But yeah,
possibly.
I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, these people are real amateurs and there's a lot of insecurity and it's not going to go well.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we saw in this, I think we saw a little bit, but like Nyla is not as confident and secure and as she came across at dinner with her mother-in-law.
Right.
I mean, basically, I think that's what we're seeing. So they're on their way to the airport, and I too would be livid. I'm on my way to the airport. I've picked up the flowers and I've paid for them. And now they get a text from Keisha saying, well, I don't think I'm going to make it. I've got loose ends to tie up. And then she goes into this whole thing about like, I'm staying with a friend and then I need to do this and I need to do that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. She needs to find a place to keep her car. And it's just like, excuse me, these are not things you do the morning before you get on a flight, you know? So maybe she obviously had no intentions of coming.
Yeah, but what's funny too is that she apparently had talked to them either the night before that morning or something like, and saying, okay, I'll see you, I'll be there. So what happened in a matter of a couple hours or half a day that got her to just, because Atlanta, Keisha's in Atlanta to Pennsylvania is not that long of a trip. You know, it's like, what, an hour and a half flight or something like that, right? So why, you know, what happened? Or was she, that was always her plan? I don't know.
Maybe she got super cold feet. Maybe that was always her plan. She could just never say it out loud. So she texts them at the last minute.
Well, it definitely sounds like Keisha has got some stuff going on. And I also would love to know if they gave her any money.
Good question. Because they did say that they were sending her houses to look at. Like they were all going to get a house together. Mm-hmm. It's like, you've never even met this woman. What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
You're going to get so excited for her to come and move it. I mean, yeah. I mean, who's paying for her plane ticket, you know?
Yeah. Because if this person is, she's staying with a friend, she needs to keep her car somewhere, she's got all this stuff. Like, that's, sounds like Keisha's kind of in the, you know, things are up in the air for Keisha in her life. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe Keisha thought like, oh, this would be a good way to maybe have a home or a family. I don't know. I can't get inside her head. But then they decide, well, we've got to eat. So let's go to this dinner. And they had planned to go to the Cinder Bar and Grill. And I'm looking at this place going, is this romantic place you were going to take her? You're eating onion rings. It yeah, just it seemed a little like casual for like hi, like you know.
Chips and yeah.
Yeah. Like,
you know, they have ketchup and condiments and stuff on the table. This is not fine dining. And it was kind of, she made a reservation.
Yes, I'm like, you need to make a reservation at the Cinder Bar and Grill? Really? You
could probably get in at the last minute.
It's just like, this is so weird. And Naeem, I think we're starting to see a few cracks here with these two, right? We're seeing that Nyla is not as confident as she comes across in the first couple episodes. And Naeem is, he's, you know, a little grumpy. And I don't know what the word is for it. Like, just,
yeah,
he's being honest. And he obviously is speaking the truth, which he's like, she just decided not to come or something spooked her or this is a lie or whatever it is. But just the way his attitude about this process, you get the sense that, I don't know, I get the sense of maybe something's happened in the past, because he does not seem very empathetic to his wife's feelings.
Yeah, no, something is off with them. Mm-hmm. And he's just, I don't know, he's so unlikable. Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
He's got kind of a hair trigger temper in a way. Do you know what I mean? You feel like, God, anything, I really fear that something might set you off. And the reason why you haven't gone off more or at all is because you're on camera.
You're on TV. Well, he went off on his mom at that dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He was quick to anger.
Yeah. You know,
when all she did was say, well, I don't really agree with this.
Yeah.
So
now then they have this huge debate about like, how are we going to meet this person? Do we meet this person in person? And Naeem's like, I want to meet them in person. Like, let's pick someone closer to us. And Nyla's like, well, but we have to do social media and these other methods because we can't just wander around like the Ryans, just approach people in bars, can we? And say,
are you
hi.
Are you interested in dating my husband?
Little did they know they can do that.
That's not very successful. But Mike, excuse me, as we know, there are a lot of apps. There are a lot of apps where you can find people, you know. So
and
find somebody local. You can connect on the app and then, you know, meet them in person. How? I mean, don't wait 6 months or whatever. Go meet them for a coffee. See if you like them. If not, move on.
Yeah, I think they're making this a little more complicated than it needs to be, because you're right. I think you could very easily, and I understand maybe out where you are, you're going to have to travel a little bit, but you could basically say, we're only going to pick someone in a 100-mile radius of us here, 50-mile radius, and they need to be interested in polygamy. Like, you can really narrow it down. The thing is, I think they want more options.
Well, my East Coast geography is not that great, but they're in eastern Pennsylvania, so they can't be very far from, like, New York, New Jersey. I mean, what is it, like an hour?
Yeah, I mean, East Pennsylvania is what, Philly? I mean, Philly is very close to New Jersey. So yeah,
okay, so they're close to some, they're within a reasonable distance of major cities.
Yes.
So there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Get on an app, find someone, ask them out. It's just, yeah, these people, they're, why are you talking to someone in Atlanta? And then it's like 3-4 months until you can see them, and then they don't show up. What a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I thought was really interesting is, do I keep saying her name wrong? I feel bad.
Say Nyla.
Is it Nyla? Okay. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm saying it wrong every time. Nyla, I apologize to you if I'm saying your name wrong. She did say something to the effect of, oh, but being in person is going to require her to be vulnerable.
Well, getting into a relationship, period's requiring you to be vulnerable. This is no different.
See, this is the thing, is Nyla wants to have a relationship in which she is like, well, I'm going to enter into this thing and I don't want to be hurt in any way, shape or form. And that's completely unrealistic. And I think she is very intellectual about, like, yes, I will feel jealousy, but I don't think she's really sat down and really thought about what this is going to do to impact her. So again, I keep coming back to, why is she doing this? Like, what? I feel like he's I don't know, just my opinion. I'm wondering if he's bullying her into it. That's why. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, yeah, there's more than meets the eye here.
Yes. All right. But that's them. Hopefully something happens with them. So do you want to go to the Davises? Do you want to do the Davises?
Yeah, let's do the Davises.
Because this, I'm sorry, just high level. Did this conversation bother you, or was this just me?
It creeped me out.
So you two felt the same thing I did, which I felt like it was very shaming and controlling.
Very controlling.
And really not at all the way in which you approach someone about something like this. It just seemed mean. It seemed really controlling and almost cult-like. Just this, well, how dare you?
Exactly. She says, as the first wife, I am the matriarch of the family. Mm-hmm. So now we know April runs the show. Nick is just, you know, he's the, what is he, the sun, and the people orbit around him, but she is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically said, she says she wants to get to the bottom of how Danielle leaving made her and the rest of the family feel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really bothered me was that she was kind of like, she says to Danielle, I don't know if you know the seriousness of the impact you had when you left and you went and you got this lease. You handled your finances to be able to do that and did all these things that you didn't even give me a chance to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know you're not going to do that again? So it was like, wait a minute. Danielle can't have control. She has a job.
Yeah.
She doesn't have control over any of her finances. Mm-hmm. She had to, what, sneak money, save up money or something to...
Yeah.
To do this.
I think that's part of it too, was that they were like, oh, wait a second. Has she been holding out on us? Mm-hmm. Because they're pissed because for the first time she did something that they didn't know about. And because they're so enmeshed and, you know, they're all sleeping in the same bed and they're all commingling their money. This was they're framing it as, oh, we care so much about you. We just, you know, but it really, what it was you're holding, you kept money from us.
Right.
Enough money.
To
rent an apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she's most upset about.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I think April's just full of shit. And then
she
was talking about how she was so hurt because she was trying to brush Vera's teeth and she wouldn't let her do it because Danielle always does it. And it's like, yeah, because I bet you guys are also pimping her out as a babysitter for Vera a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really like guilting her about, sort of shoving Vera in her face saying, Vera, you know, she was crying because she couldn't brush her teeth. It's like, I'm sorry. But, you know, when you have two people in a household, two parents or your grandparents watching or a babysitter, this stuff happens all the time. Like, come on. You like guilting her for that, like as if she doesn't have the right to not do the teeth every single night. And then she makes, April says something to the effect of, okay, you know, saying, you know, we forgive you. But I'm like, it doesn't feel like you really forgive her, because you're sitting here shaming her and yelling, essentially in a very calm way, telling her, don't, you know, promise not to do that again. Don't do this again. Don't do this again. And I just, the whole thing creeped me out. And they're both sitting there crying. You know, she's, poor Danielle, she's crying. And it was really, really manipulative, because I don't know how old's April, but I just feel like, you know, April knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, she's so young and she's so naive, and she's such a people pleaser, and she just wants to be seen and loved by these people. And so she feels, you know, of course, April knows exactly what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She knows exactly what she's doing. I was so bothered by that. That grossed me out. Yeah, I was like, April, this is disgusting.
She's like in her 40s. And, you know, and then did you notice that, you know, as April finished up scolding Danielle, and Danielle's crying, saying, I'll never do it again. And she's saying to April, thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. And I'm like, what? Talking that. What?
Yeah.
That's that was creepy. Like Nick would say to, you know, them, or that was weird.
Yeah. This is what April was essentially saying when she was folding the laundry. Bitch, I don't want to work anymore. You can't leave. How dare you take money? And we will slow down the process of finding a new one, but I don't want to work much longer. And I'd like to stay at home with Nick and think.
Yeah. We'll pump the brakes on this wife thing, but it's not going to go away.
No. No, it's not.
It's coming.
Yeah, this whole thing of like, you mean more than adding another girl to the family? I don't know. I just, and I'm sorry. I was just sitting there the whole time thinking about, there's so many different ways that she could have phrased how she felt, because I kept thinking, well, okay, how does April feel? April's hurt. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. And I'm like, but you could have just turned to Danielle at one point and said, what could we do differently so that next time you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, you would feel safe enough to talk to us versus leaving?
Yeah, because you know, Danielle still doesn't feel safe. Yeah. She still doesn't feel good. They somehow guilted her. I don't know what they did or said to get her to come back in those couple of days.
Yeah.
I don't think she came back completely on her own. And then when she did come back, she looked like a scared, you know, deer in headlights, and couldn't even talk about it and was crying. I mean, something is wrong here. It was kind of like, you know, blink three times if you need help, you know?
Yeah, Danielle. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that the whole thing really bugged the crap out of me. And I just, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed by these people now. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
So I was, Mary Payne from Pink Shade. Mm-hmm. She interviewed Nick and Jennifer.
Oh, okay. Not so, April. Okay.
Not April. Because Jennifer, I think, is his favorite. So I heard that the interview was really pretty boring, but then she went on Reality Gaze. She was at their live show a few nights ago, and she kind of spilled some stuff about things they told her off of.
Yeah.
So she asked them about the bed and who sleeps where and how do you decide that? And they said that, well, the bed is a choice. You know, you don't have to sleep there if you don't want to. But Nick and Jennifer, they prefer to sleep together in the middle.
Mm.
And Danielle is a hot sleeper, so she likes to be on the edge.
Okay.
And April has a CPAP, so she's on the other edge.
Oh, God. Oh, that's ooh, who wouldn't want to join that little dynamic?
Doesn't that sound so hot?
Yeah.
Okay. what else? Oh, and she was, I guess, Jennifer, she has some kind of, she's like the head of IT or something at some company. She makes the most money.
Yeah. Wow. Like,
she actually has a good job.
That's why she's Nick's favorite. She can make babies.
Yes.
And she can work. Two things he wants.
Yeah. And it was so funny. Like, they were like, what? And Matt's like, with that hair, she has, she has that good of a job. She, her hair is like striped right now. It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, you know, head of IT. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. And then April is like an executive assistant. And they met at work. I don't know if they still work at the same company.
Jennifer and April met at work? Yeah. Oh, and that's how April brought Jennifer into the fold? Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. Mm, interesting.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if there was anything else that she said that was interesting. I don't know. I might think of something later. It might come up, but...
I wonder if Danielle... I wonder if Danielle's freaked out about new women coming in. Or if she's more anxious about being forced to marry one of these new women. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because that's a huge commitment and a huge thing to do for someone.
And then it's maybe not really your choice.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It's like, do you want to marry a woman? Like, is this what you want to do? Right. Like, I get the sense from her that she's just not comfortable with, you know, doing any of this.
And I'm sure,
which I don't blame her to be, because it's not her choice.
Yeah. And I'm sure people in her family are probably saying, what? Are you kidding? Like, yeah, like that's serious. You don't just marry someone just be, you know, for fun because.
Yeah. Or quote, because it feels like it's like convenience. Like, okay, great. So you two are the first, you two marry. Now we're going to get Danielle and someone else. Now you marry this person. It's like, this isn't exactly how marriage is. It's like that you're the order in which you show up. This is how you marry someone. I mean, that's crazy. So anywho, interesting.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the Ryan family.
Okay.
Oh, these two.
These two.
Hello. Nice. Well, now that we know much more about Becky and Becky's past and the bizarre world of either being denial about who you are and your childhood and who, you know, your stepfather was, or just, oh, I know how to, you know, we don't have boundaries here, so we're just going to violate someone's boundaries and just all of it. All of it. And then do a bunch of manipulative stuff to kind of get this person back. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm scared for
Stephanie.
So I guess, yeah, she just called out of the blue and invited them to come see her.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin says like that he's super in love with Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
Justin's
all hot for Stephanie.
He's hot for Stephanie. That becomes clear. And so the night before they were supposed to come, she said that she had to work. And instead of accepting that as, oh, she doesn't want us to come, they're saying, well, she did invite us. And that's what she said. And she set it up and we booked a room and we're going anyway.
Yes. So they hit the road.
And it's a 12-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so, and that's when Justin was wearing the tank top. And, you know, God, some of the things, like, this is the most animated we've seen Justin ever. Like, this is, he is super pumped because he loves Stephanie. And he just talks about, like, oh, I have my chapstick on because I need moist, kissable lips. Blah. And he's like, oh, you know, I can't wait to see Stephanie and she'll melt in my arms.
Yeah, he's like, she won't be mad when we get there because, yeah, she just loves me and she'll... He makes it sound like he's done this kind of thing before. And,
yeah.
And once she sees him, she melts in his arms. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And Becky has this sister wife kind of necklace that she got from Stephanie and she's wearing it. And this is their big justification for all of this is this is like, well, we want to break the cycle with Stephanie because, you know, we're just sick of, cause they feel like, what are we like a booty call? Like Stephanie just calls us randomly whenever she wants us to come around. And then we come around and then she pulls this kind of stuff and how dare she? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you wanted to break the cycle, what you do is when Stephanie reaches back out to you, you go, you either don't respond or you say to Stephanie, hey, we've been down this road with you. We don't trust it. Peace out. Nice knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you are, you're not, you have no desire to break a cycle. you want what you want when you want it, and you're pissed off that someone doesn't want you. Or maybe she is playing with you, but that's not on, that's on you to say, okay, I don't want to be played with. Yeah. Bye.
If you don't like it, then, you know, then don't indulge in it. But
yeah,
they have the, they think that this will help. They're going to pay her her gym.
Yes. And the gym didn't even look that nice.
It looks like a Planet Fitness where it's $10 a month or something.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I feel like they've paid for a lot more than a gym membership for Stephanie. Yeah. Things are starting to come to fruition.
Well, and they say that they're always buying her stuff.
Yeah.
I forget which one said that, but they said it. They admitted it.
So they're always buying her stuff. So, and again, here we go. So they feel like we're paying you, we're buying you things. Mm-hmm. So therefore we have some sort of right to your space, to your time, to your energy, to any of that kind of stuff. Which is also, and again, they see this as an act of love, an act of this is what caring is, or this is what it is. It's like, oh yeah, you've learned a thing or two from your stepfather. Yeah. You know, it's creepy.
It is creepy. And Justin says he's in love with her and intends to be with her the same as he is with Becky. That's kind of, I mean, again, he's saying some things that are very scary.
Yes.
Like, if I can't have you, no one else can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's very much like, I want you. You are going to be mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay your gym membership. I'll drive 12 hours. I'll do whatever it takes, but you're going to be mine.
Mm-hmm. And how dare you, you know, how dare you change your mind the last minute? So we see them going in and renewing the membership. I'm like, oh, you're doing this right now? Oh, I thought this was in theory.
No, they want to have something to show her. They want to come with something, a receipt, you know?
Yes. Here you go, flowers.
No flowers.
But we just...
a receipt. We paid for your gym membership for a year. It was $120.
Yes.
Now let us in.
Yes. I need you to melt in my arms. I've got my tank top on. I got my lips are nice and juicy and moist for you, Stephanie. Come at me.
Yeah. And what is Becky just going to sit in over here in the corner and watch?
I don't know. God, these two are so crazy. So we see it's a big dun, dun, dun. We see at the end that, you know, they're going to go show her they love her. And so Becky goes. And so that's interesting too, right? He's so in love with her, but he's like, well, Becky, you go to the door. I'm like, oh, interesting. So Becky's the less threatening of the two of you, huh? Or the one that maybe Stephanie would be more open to opening the door.
Well, you know, that's a common theme here where these men use the other, you know, they use the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, Garrick uses Danielle. Like,
yes,
they're a conduit. You know, they kind of soften them and humanize them more and be like, oh, it's okay. There's nothing to be afraid of. Look, you know, mm-hmm. I'm with him. He's great. I'm happy. So it's kind of like an example.
Yeah. Well, and again, we've seen this over the years with, right, serial killers, and right, we've heard these stories of hitchhikers, and they see a man and a woman in a car, so they think, oh, I'm safe, not knowing that the woman is, you know, a co-conspirator,
right,
as part of this. And right, I've always gone back and forth with those women of like how much, you know, if they're being controlled as well, how much ownership or responsibility do they have for being complicit with their partners, you know?
Yeah,
and it just feels like Becky's driving this train. You know, Becky's got the pants in this family.
Yeah, I don't feel like Becky is being used.
Yes.
Danielle, maybe.
A little bit more.
A little more.
Both Danielles.
Yeah.
So, well, anywho.
Interesting to see what happens when the door opens. Maybe she won't be there. I don't know.
No, we hear her say hi.
Oh, I missed that.
The best would be if they open the door and there's another couple there.
Uh-oh.
another couple, and they've already given her the gym membership to a better gym.
A better gym.
Yeah. She's at Equinox. They paid for an Equinox membership, which is not cheap. So that place is nice. Anywho. Oh,
yeah, I know.
Yes, yes. Psych Legal Pop will be back after these messages. Hey there, it's Tess Brigham, the therapist half of Psych Legal Pop. In addition to being a therapist, I'm also a coach, speaker, and author. And if you go to my website, you'll find courses, ebooks, and worksheets for sale. If you're feeling a bit lost, overwhelmed by life's twists and turns, or you're just simply stuck, I've got you covered. Head over to my website, www.tessbrigham.com, for courses, ebooks, and worksheets tailored to help you unlock your true potential. From relationship struggles to career transitions, I'm here to guide you every step of the way. So stop looking outside of yourself at friends, family, social media for the answers. The answers to all your questions are inside of you. My products and services are the first step in uncovering your true you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, so we're back with the Merrifields. Wow.
Boy, this has been a long couple days. How many days have they been there? How
long
has this been going on? I have no idea.
No, we are on day two, I think. We're still, we pick up maybe day three. But hold on a second. The cenote, they're talking about the cenote. So the cenote was the day before, right? The next day is when Danielle and Natalia have that conversation. I think that was the day after the cenote.
Okay. So this is like the next day.
Yeah. Well,
she comes down like in the morning, comes down the stairs.
That's the next day. But the show picks up right where we left off. They're still at the kitchen counter having a conversation about the apps.
About the apps. Okay. God. Yeah, you're right. It's day two.
And what I love is how Garrick, his just how fascinating it is, because in the confessionals, he's very much in this place of, oh, none of the women are listening to me. Okay, let me tell you, I had to just get out of that. I don't know. You know, really, he's very aware of what he's done when you get to the confessional parts, right? But while he's trying to have this conversation with Danielle and Natalia, He starts with denial. I didn't know. Oh, I have it on there. I didn't know how to get rid of it. I didn't know. Oh, they can talk to me. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, I didn't want to be rude, you know, so I needed to keep engaging with them. Cause you know me, Danielle, like I don't like to be rude to new people and people that I've just met. And I'm like, so do you not know how the app works? or are you trying to be a nice guy? Right? Like you can see he keeps finding new excuses, new ways to figure out, you know, how do I deflect? I'm like, you seem to know a lot more than you're letting on. Oh, yeah.
He always puts, when he's in the middle of the two women, he did this with Roberta too. He plays dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
I didn't know, sister. Oh no, God. I don't know how these apps work. Oh gosh. It's like, please, Danielle said it earlier that you didn't want to delete the apps because you don't want to redo the profiles. You know the app enough to know that if you delete your thing, it's gone.
She totally busted him. She said, I asked you to do this back at home and you said, no, it was going to be too much trouble to redo the profiles. I mean, he just flat out lied. I mean, she busted him in this lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who said this, if it's Danielle or Garrick, but I think it was Garrick. He says that they've only known Natalia 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. It was Danielle. Yeah.
Okay. But then it cuts to Garrick and he says, I still think I should propose to her.
Yes, yes. Because this is the thing. That whole section of him going, oh, I don't know how these apps work. I don't know. The sub thing that's going on in his head is, oh shit. I don't know if this is going to be an appropriate time to propose. And, you know,
I just got in trouble. I just got busted. Cause you know, he was ready. He had the ring in his pocket.
Oh yeah. He wanted to get laid that night. He was ready. He was like, I got the ring in my pocket. We've been through all this stuff. Tonight's the night. We're getting down.
When Natalia went upstairs to go to bed and nothing was going to happen, he started crying.
Yes.
And he was like, I was going to propose to her.
Yes. Yes. Which means I was going to get laid.
Now he's crying.
Now he's crying. Though you do have your wife right there. Like, that's not at all an option at all.
No.
You know, apparently. There's no one for me to have sex with at all. There's no one I'm attracted to here that I can have sex with. Right, Danielle?
He doesn't want any old sex. He wants that new Brazilian sex.
Yes.
He's into.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay. So that's the end of day two. Uh-huh. And everyone's pissed at Garrick.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next morning. Yeah. So first Derek and Garrick and Danielle are talking in the kitchen and kind of rehashing all of this. And then Natalia comes downstairs and she's very cold. She gives Danielle a hug and oh, good morning. I don't think she hugs Garrick.
No, he was looking for something.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is where I think, you know, he goes into that whole thing before Natalia comes downstairs. He goes into that whole thing about, I'm so committed to the two of you. And he says, and that's where he says, I still want to propose because I want to show that I'm sincere. I'm like, boy, you're looking for any reason to propose, aren't you? Like, he is just like his logic. You could see exactly what his motivations are. I'm like, come on, Garrick, give us a little more credit.
Is this when they talk about, I'm so confused between these 2 days. Is this where they talk about how many apps he has?
Yes, yes. Okay. So she comes down to breakfast. She gives Danielle a big hug. She sits down next to him. And then Garrick starts crying. And he's, you know, and he goes into his whole thing and he's like sitting there. And of course, what I love is they're all talking on these phones. You know, they got the phone in front of them.
Like, yeah.
Sister, I want you to know that I am sincere. You know, it's so weird.
Danielle is just being like a Garrick apologist. And Natalia's like, you're always worried about defending him. And literally Garrick and Danielle are begging for forgiveness. You know, and Garrick is quoting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're desperate. They're like, oh, God, I think they feel like she might leave today.
Well, Garrick's desperate. And Danielle, I wonder what happened after the, you know, everyone went to bed. I wonder if Garrick, like, sat down and just told Danielle, you've got to make this right. You've got to apologize on my behalf. You know, this is what God wants. God wants us. And you're upsetting God, Danielle. So you need to do this because, she essentially comes down and apologizes for him. And I love Natalia. She calls him out on it.
Yeah.
She calls both of them out on it. She's like, you know, she's just like, he has got to know the consequences of his mistakes. Stop defending him, essentially. So I think that I really wonder, my instinct is, I think Natalia is really seeing what's going on here and she does not like it. And I don't think anything's going to happen on this trip. I don't think he proposes.
Yeah.
I think she gets out of it.
I don't think she's going to stay because she's kind of playing with him because after she finds out about the 10 apps.
Yeah. And that she was so shocked. She was like, 10? 10?
She says, oh, I didn't realize I wasn't the only applicant. I thought I was the only applicant. And then, you know, after he fumbles through his explanation of why he needs so many apps and all of a sudden she's like, okay, well, anything else? And he says, no. And she says, how would you feel if I did that?
Mm-hmm.
And she's not fucking around.
No, she is not. Good for justice for Natalia. I love her. She is my favorite. She is the best person on this entire show amongst all the families. She is my leader.
I'm just afraid that like next week it's like, you know, he's going to propose and she's going to say yes. And I don't know. It seems too good to be true.
Well,
he could just, you know, put Garrick in his place.
Because after they make up, he then kisses her kind of uncomfortably. You know, he kind of like he gives her a kiss and then he starts kissing like her neck and her shoulder. And it gets really awkward.
I must have been looking down or spacing.
Yeah, I told you. You were the one that told me don't look down. Never look down. You
cannot look down during this show.
So what I have to do is I have to watch. And then if I want to write anything down, I pause.
Yeah.
And then I write it down. And then I repause.
Half of this show is body language.
Yes.
Dr. Adam should.
Oh. Well, he's doing season two.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk to him about that.
I got to listen to those. Because that's like his one of his specialties.
Yes. Oh,
nonverbal communication.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have to have a conversation with him about this show. And then we get back to weepy Garrick. Mm-hmm. He's such a master manipulator, but he's not that bright. That's the other part. So like he cries, and then we see him in the confessional and he says, well, you know, we're going to have five wives. So the 10 dating apps will be back. She will have to work through that as well.
Yeah.
So essentially what he's saying is that, okay, fine. I want to get laid on this trip. So I'm going to be willing to do this now. And I wonder if he even deleted them or if he just took them and like maybe, I bet you anything he didn't delete the apps. I think he went through his phone and figured out how to turn off all the notifications and maybe how to like bury it somewhere.
Well, you can remove the app from your phone and still have an account.
Oh, that's true. There you go.
And then you just get the app back when you're ready to, you know, you go to the app store and put it back on. So, yeah, he still has the accounts and she has no way of verifying that, you know.
Yeah. But I do wonder if this is going to be enough for Natalia. She seems too smart. She seems way too smart that she's, I mean, how badly do you want to come to the U.S.? Especially you're a lawyer, you know, you can be a lawyer now in Brazil. Like, why don't you stay? Like, what? I don't know what her motivation is. I really don't. Because she's too smart for these people.
Yeah, and her mom is there. God, I wish I knew what their conversations were.
God, I'd pay any amount of money to listen to the two of them.
I know.
Her mom, a conversation.
Well, her mom's probably saying, look, when you go down there this morning, you ask this. She's probably telling her, like...
Yeah, ask how many apps he's on.
Exactly. How many apps? Name them.
Name them. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, got it. There is one rumor that I've heard from a couple places that people think that Danielle Merrifield had a baby.
When?
Like in between the time that, you know, this show was filmed and now.
Oh, why do people think that?
I can't remember what the clues are.
Well, Corey and Carly were telling me about her Instagram. Now I got to go back to that.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any announcements been made. I doubt. Well, they'll do that till this show is over.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard it on a couple different, you know, Sister Wives type podcasts. I said, I think people have been like, you know, there was just some clues, some Easter eggs that people think. I don't know. Someone saw like a crib or something. And
oh, that's right. She's Wifey Merrifield. Oh, you think? Okay. Then why wouldn't she? I mean.
Well, because I think they want the attention to be on the show. They're going to have to announce it at some point.
Yeah, I guess so. Interesting. Huh.
So if she had a baby, does that mean it's like more likely that Natalia did not accept Garrick's proposal?
Yeah,
because even if they get engaged, like they have to do that whole 90-day fiance process, that could take It could take years, you know. You have to apply for the visa. You have to get approved. I'm sure, you know, there's a backlog.
Yeah.
Now because of this show.
Oh, God. These photos. Here, this is one of her things. In one of her posts, she says, "We made it to Mexico. I am so blessed to share this life with you, my handsome king."
Oh, gross.
"I look forward to all that God has ahead of us." And then there's a picture of her. And then there's a picture of Garrick asleep in the bed with his thumb on the remote control. This is your hand. This is your king. This guy that, you know, is in bed with his hand on the remote control. This is the guy you're taking life advice from. Yeah. God, he is. Oh, he's got his tank top on. Oh, now he's shirtless. This is what I was talking about before. Ugh. God, people are annoying on the internet. Okay, well,
this isn't very good.
Podcast. Sorry, I'm sorry. Oh, God, here's... Oh, God! There's this picture of Garrick on the floor, on his knees of a hotel room in jeans and a black tank top. "Ladies, this right here should be what you seek in a husband. Look for a man who loves the Lord and seeks him daily. Garrick is a man that fears the Lord. He has a true heart after God. When a man puts God first, he will lead you and your children in true righteousness." Danielle, I hate to be the one to tell you this. Garrick's not putting God first.
No.
Garrick puts himself first. Yeah. Anywho. Yeah. Whew. Boy, what a show.
I love this show.
I know.
I'm sad when it's over.
I know. And it's maybe we should start watching them together. It's kind of sad and lonely watching them alone. And I'm just sitting there like looking around and no one wants to talk to me about any of it.
Yeah. And it's like you're kind of laughing to yourself and then no one to share it with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
good times. Good times.
Good times.
What a time to be alive. All right. Well, so thank you so much for tuning in. So just a few quick updates and such. As we've been talking about, we now have a Patreon. Woo! So go check us out at patreon.com/psychlegalpop. We do a bonus episode each week and we're doing an Ask Us Anything. So you can ask legal questions, mental health questions, or questions about us. So we just started getting some questions for this month. So you can hop right into Patreon and get a question in if you want. And we are also have once a month we do an extra true crime recap. So lots of good stuff. And another way to support us if you enjoy this podcast is to please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple. Those ratings really do help us. You can follow us at Psych Legal Pop on Instagram or TikTok. And yeah, please subscribe, tell a friend, spread the word. And thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate all the Patreon members that we've been getting. And we really do appreciate all of you that listen and tune in.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, helps us keep going. So we really, really appreciate it. And we appreciate all your kind words.
All right. Well, see you next week for another riveting episode.
Yes. All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.